Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to a sunny but cold Freeport this afternoon. As we stand here today, I just wondered if any of you have ever had a bad day. Just, have you ever had a day where everything seems to go wrong? Where you have trouble getting along with the people around you? Just lots of trouble happens in your life. Have you ever had like a really bad day? Well, today for me, it's making me think of that. And I just want you to imagine if you had a really bad day, where if you were accused of a crime you did not commit, you were brought before a judge that was hostile to you, you had people come up on the witness stand and they lied in accusing you of a crime, and you were found guilty before the judge and you realize you're in big trouble, and they pronounced you guilty and the judge sentenced you to death because of the lies of the witnesses that lied on the witness stand. This is a really, really bad day, if you can imagine that. And then that very day, the judge orders that they carry out the punishment and the death penalty for you that very day. What a bad day, if you can imagine. But if also you can imagine that this is a true story, this really happened. This happened to a man, all of you know his name. His name is Jesus Christ. Although Jesus Christ is your creator, the creator of heaven and earth, and he came to this earth, humble himself, to do something for a man like you. He was falsely accused, though he spoke not back. Witnesses lied on the stand. The judge found him guilty. He was sentenced to death. And that very day, they carried out the penalty of death on him and crucified him, an excruciating death on the cross. And why did he do that? He could have spoken a word and 10,000 angels would have come to his defense. He could have spoken a word and anything, he could have taken himself out of that situation, but he humbled himself. So why did he do that? It's a good question, why? But to answer the question, we need to back up a little bit. Why did Jesus Christ allow himself to be falsely accused? To allow witnesses to lie on him, against him on the witness stand, for him to be falsely found guilty, sentenced to death, though he is very creator, his creation, sentences him to death and carries out the sentence in a brutal, brutal way. Why did he do that? Because it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. God has appointed a day he will judge the world in righteousness, the great and terrible day of the Lord, when God will pour out his wrath on the children of men that keep not his law. You see, each one of you will one day step through the door of death. Each one of you has a day, has an appointment with death. Just like you've been handed a subpoena by the police for to stand before a judge. Each one of you has a day, an appointment with death, though you don't know the day. God has determined a day that you will die and give answer for how you've lived your life. And have you kept the standard? God tells us in his word, God's moral law, the standard of right and wrong before God, and have you kept the standard? If you've lied, you're a liar. It says lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. That's a simple thing, just telling a simple lie. Many of us think it's a petty thing, and it's not an important crime. But God says it is. If I tell you a lie, and I'm just a stranger to you, you would be annoyed with me, but it wouldn't be that big a deal to you. If you lied to a spouse, you're in a bigger trouble. You lied to your husband or your wife. You lie to your country in wartime, and it's treason, and it could be death penalty for you. And the difference is not the lie, it's just a lie. The difference is who's offended. And that's when we look at the Ten Commandments that God gave us. It's not principally that the offenses are against man that make them so serious. It's that these are offenses against God, your Creator. And God says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So if we just tell a simple lie, it's cheating at school, lying to a friend. It's all lying, and you will give answer to God. God doesn't just judge the things that other people see, too. Maybe you're never caught in the lie. But God judges the thoughts and the intents of your heart, and all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom you have to do. If you've stolen anything, then you're a thief. It doesn't need to be a big thing, and even if it was a long time ago, you're a thief, and you will give answer before God. A third commandment, another one of the commandments is, you shall not commit adultery. But Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew that if you even look with lust, you're guilty of adultery in the heart. Now there's 10 commandments. Today we've just looked at 3. If you've lied, if you've stolen, if you've looked with lust, that's adultery in the heart. Now there's 7 more commandments, the canons of which are pointing at you. Can you proclaim you're innocent to these commandments? And I believe firmly that if each one of you were honest with yourself, and you can lie to me, it doesn't really matter to lie to me about this, it's important that you be honest to yourself. If you were judged by just those 3 commandments, would you be found guilty? Or as the scriptures say, would you be found wanting? There is none that doeth good, no, not one. They've altogether got out of the way, altogether become unprofitable, the scriptures say. So God says that you have not kept the commandments, and you are guilty before Him. And if He gave you justice, what would it be? No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer, no fornicator will enter the kingdom of God. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So it should concern you that if you were judged by even these few commandments, you'd be guilty, and there's 7 more. If God gave you justice, what would it be? Would it be heaven or hell? Well, we see the scripture said, if you've broken the law will be fulfilled. God will judge you and pour out His wrath on you that you've stored up unto the day of wrath. But you know, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is a just God. He will judge you on your death. But God is such a gracious God that He is willing to pay a fine with His own life's blood for those that will repent and trust in the Savior.
Amen.
And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, that we talked about a few minutes ago, that was falsely accused. He humbly took the punishment, though He Himself was not guilty of any crime. He took that punishment for you and for me. Though we have broken His law and deserve nothing but death and hell, He took that punishment willingly for you and me. But He commands you to repent. If you will see yourself in truth and see your sin before God, it should break your heart that God has done amazingly things to bless you in your life. With your life, the life He's given you, and the place you have to live, and food to eat, and you've done nothing but in your flesh but break His law and be deserving of hell. Repent. Turn from your sin. If you're willing to go to God and say, oh, I have broken your law, I'm deserving of hell, I'm willing to turn from my sin, those things that I used to love to do, I now turn from them because I know they offend my God. And put your faith in Jesus Christ, that He shed His blood as payment for your sin, so that justice may be done. The fine is paid for the crime that has been done. But it's paid for by His blood rather than eternity for you in the lake of fire and hell. And this is something we don't want to... All of us by nature are proud. And it's hard for us to humble ourselves and say, I am a criminal before God. And I deserve nothing but hell. But it is the only way, it is the only way that you can be redeemed before God. It's the only way that God can be glorified by the shedding his blood of his son, that he may redeem some criminals like you and I before God, and that his name may be lifted up, that all of creation may see that though you are deserving of hell, God is willing to pay for your fine with his own life's blood. And what an amazing God that would do that. We open our Bibles and we look at the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And these words were written 400 years before Jesus Christ died on the cross. And it says, surely he has borne our griefs and has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him the chastisement that brought us peace. With his stripes we are healed. You know, it's an amazing thing that it should break your heart that your God would do this for you. Though you deserve, like me, and I don't come to say I'm better than any of you, but I am better off than I deserve. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to be judged by God. But my amazing God, give me life within. He convicted me of my sin. He showed me what I deserve. And he gave me the life in my heart to cry out with him in repentance.
Yeah.
And you know that God is not obligated to save any one of you. God chooses whom he will save. You should look at your sin, see yourself in truth, get on your face before God, cry out to him, say, give me the life within me to respond. Because by nature, you're dead in your trespasses and sins, the scriptures say. Say, give me life for which to cry out to you in repentance. Give me a heart of repentance. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In the fifth chapter of Romans, we open our Bibles. Fifth chapter of Romans. Perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were enemies of God. You are by nature a hater and enemy of God. And if you say you're not by nature, you do not know who God is. By your nature, a sinful man or an enemy of God. But while you were his enemy, Christ died for you. Would you die for your enemy? He had the wrath of a holy and just God, his Father, poured out on him the punishment of hell for my sin and your sin. Do we deserve his mercy? We do not. But he is an amazing God. And he is willing to pay your fine so that if you will turn from sin and trust in the Savior, that he will save you and give you eternal life and give you a new heart and new desires, willing to do his will and turn from sin. It says in the book of, just give me some space, sir. I'll talk to you in a minute. If you just back up a little bit, I appreciate that. Thank you. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, it says, he himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. Just something that we, if you say you're a Christian, if you say that you've been born again, has there been a change in your life? The Word of God tells us in the book of 1 John that if you say you're a Christian but you go on living in sin, you're of the devil and the truth is not in you. And I don't want to say that to be hard on you. The Scriptures tell us in the 2 Corinthians chapter 13, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail to meet the test? Do you fail to meet the test? Can you look at evidence in your life and see, yes, this is evidence that I'm a Christian. You know, am I turning from sin? Do I hate those things that God hates? Do I love those things that God loves? Do I love to hear the Word of God preached? Do I read my Bible every day? Okay, this isn't an exhaustive list, but do you see evidence? You do not want to be wrong about this. Because it says, Jesus himself, in his own words, told us that many will say in that day, Lord, Lord. And they will claim to have done many good works in his name.
What did you say?
But he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I have never known you. But it's an important thing. What it says is those that are those workers of iniquity, those that claim the name of Christ but live in sin. Each one of us, it's incumbent upon us to open the scriptures, to examine your life, say, man, do I see this evidence? Am I living like a Christian? If not, examine yourself. Have you ever come to repentance? Think of your sin. Open up the 20th chapter of Exodus and look at the commandments. Say, man, have I kept this? Have I ever turned from this sin and trusted in the Savior? So I appreciate you folks taking a few minutes to listen to me. I've got some gospel tracts here. It's quite a long one. It's called, Are You Good Enough to Go to Heaven? And if you're not sure you've been born again, or if you'd just like to read a little more about what I'm talking about, I ask you just to overcome your pride, humble yourself, come to me, and I'll take one of these and take it home and read it. And I know most of you have Bibles at home, so compare this to what you read in your Bible. Here you go, sir. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. And examine what I'm saying the truth. And turn to God and be born again. Now I'm going to hang around for a few minutes, so if any of you you want to come talk to me or you need prayer, or just come forward. I'd be glad to talk to you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you very much.
Well, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I had a menu yesterday.
Okay, I'm going to I'd like to get people, wild fellas, both drinking around, going back. I'd like people like you who would come and listen to you. Go back.
Are you? Are you? Are you? Are you? Are you? Are you? Are
you? Are you?